From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, December 9th, 2021. It's the Beating the Book podcast, Megapod. Gil Alexander and crew, Mikey Palm, Todd Wishnev. And our guest, who will reveal momentarily, live from the D at downtown Las Vegas. I was about to say at Circa Sports at the D. And our road to, first of all, hello, Mikey. Okay?
Good morning.
You were a little rushed coming in here. You all right?
I'm okay. Everything is fine.
We're worried about you.
No, I was fine. Usually I'd be here so early because I'm doing Follow the Money, but
that's right. That's right.
You not didn't today, do it today. They had Jason Robbins.
They were in Connecticut today.
They are.
Todd Wishnev from his mom.
What did Jason Robbins say? Did he say we don't allow winners?
No, he in a hard-hitting interview with Mitch and Paul.
I'm sure.
He clarified.
Yes.
After about 10 minutes of infomercial for DraftKings and his biography, he clarified that what he meant was not that they don't want winners. They don't want professionals like Billy Walters. They feel it's unethical for you to bet a line one way to move it and then come in heavy on it the other way. That's not the kind of people they want. Just like the people that are manipulating their stock by short selling it so that their hedge fund bunnies can buy it cheaper. He said this.
Did he say that?
That's a quote. I just watched it coming in or listened to it coming in.
Huh. Interesting. The subset of Billy Walters like betters is so very small.
Oh, they're rampant.
Yes, I was going to say. By the way, that was the voice of Todd Wishnev from his mom's Cork Attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yinzer, you good, Todd?
I'm doing great. We got a big Pittsburgh Steelers game tonight. So if Jens are thinking anything about that game, Jens better consult with your Pittsburgh Steelers Jenser crowd.
Renounced Jew, Todd Wishnev. We are pleased to have back on the show. 2 years in a row now on the Megapod. He comes on a numbers game and also on VSiN.
He comes on a lot, everywhere.
But thrilled to have him on the Megapod. Not a renounced Jew. Not at all. Jeff Schwartz, everybody, from the Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You podcast, Sirius XM, Fox Sports. I don't know what else you do. You do everything. How you doing, man?
I am good. I am glad to be here. Thanks for having me on. I'm coming to Vegas at the end of the month. My wife's going to Usher concert. I am not. I'm coming to watch football and gamble. So I will be there the 30th, 31st, the 1st, the 2nd. I am pumped to come to Vegas. And just watch sports and let my wife and her friend do whatever they want to do.
Jeff,
state are you in now? Jeff, where do you live?
I live in Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
Jeff has, can I share what you told us before? That you have a commercial being shot in his house right now for Toyota, which apparently is a regular thing. So Jeff is confined to a room doing this podcast.
Well, I thought the Megapod was part of the Toyota commercial.
No.
I'm actually in my I'm in my bathroom right now. So that's where I'm at. I'm tucked away. You can see like there's towels and robes behind me.
Ergo the towels.
I'm legit in my bathroom. My wife's vanity is where I'm at right now.
I heard Jeff on a show talk about the great time he had at Stadium Swim. We didn't even know he was there over the summer. You got to let us know when you're coming, big guy.
Yeah, I was there. It was a ton of fun. We were there kind of with our Fox digital gambling crew. Sammy P and Jason McIntyre, our producer Conrad, and oh my God, it was just a preseason game, but like it was so cool being up there. The setting is fabulous.
What was the crowd like, Jeff? Because I hear a lot of stuff from Mike Palm, but you never can really tell whether he's shilling for the company.
Yeah,
I'd like to
know
what you think about the crowd. Was it a incredible stuff to look at crowd? Was it a little bit older crowd? Or was it, like, what was the crowd from your perspective? Was it an offensive line crowd, DB crowd?
We got the gist of it.
Wait, what's an offensive line crowd?
That's a little hefty. It's like an offensive line crowd is a little heftier crowd that you don't necessarily want to see in bathing suits, whereas a DB crowd is more of a low-fat, nicer to look at crowd.
We were up in one of the cabanas up top, and so the view we mostly got were the waitresses walking around, and so I would say that's more of a DB crew than an offensive line crew.
That's a Nickelback crowd.
That's what we're going with it for our ratings. But it was just like it was a weeknight, so it wasn't wild. But I had a cigar, we had a little bit to eat. It was fantastic, kind of fun. It's a great idea. It's a really cool idea to have just that big old bar outside with all the TVs.
It is the staple of Circa. You can't throw out those DBs either, Todd. Same sort of thing. Just shut down corners. You cannot throw.
I like a wide receiver diva crowd and a DB crowd. That's a crowd you're looking for.
Jeff,
you're like an encore on Friday night.
I love that your wife wants to come here and see Usher. That's the best detail so far of this show. She loves Usher.
Well, so she went to EDC 2 years ago before COVID.
How old is your wife that she goes to EDC?
She's 36. We were in Vegas. We saw, who did we see? We went to Wet Republic and saw someone. And then last time we were here, we went to Encore Beach Club and saw Marshmallow. The one before that was, who was it? Someone famous we went and saw. It was a lot of fun at Wet Republic. A ton of fun.
Wow. Good for you, man.
Yeah.
The entire Vegas experience.
Yes.
All right. Well, so we have to get a few things out of the way before we get to our picks.
I want to ask a question
please.
Would Jeff be considered the most practicing Jew of the three of you?
Probably so. Yes. I am a Reform Jew. Todd is a renounced former Orthodox.
Do you eat on Yom Kippur, on Jeff, or do you fast on Yom Kippur?
I fast.
I fast on Yom Kippur. By the way, it's Yom Kippur, by the way. My Israeli mom would like you to know. Yom
on
Kippur.
Pesach, Jeff, on Pesach, do you eat bread?
No.
I do not either.
Okay. Wow, we're still tied. This is going to be a tough one. Do you know what Shavuos is, Jeff?
I shot my load. That's it. That's all I got.
Say it again?
Do you know what Shavuos is?
I don't think so.
Okay, it was worse. And Gil doesn't know either. We're still tied.
No, Todd, now say it in a way that actual people who know Hebrew could understand.
Shavuot.
Yeah.
Shavuot, Sony Guts.
We go, Todd and I go have hummus at the Hummus Grill, and there are Sephardic Jews, and they speak Hebrew. They only understand me. They don't know a word that Todd is saying because he speaks this horrible.
I'm giving him the Eastern European.
I feel like that was a word that he butchered completely.
Yes.
I'll just go with that. I mean, is Shavuot? Is that what you're trying to say? I don't know
Shavuot
what you're trying to say.
Shavuot is the Israeli way of talking. There's also an Eastern European Jewish way of talking. That's what I was giving.
Yeah, but what is it?
Shavuos is a holiday in summertime with cheesecake and, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole thing.
Cheesecake.
The Jews and their cheesecake.
It's a big cheesecake thing and whatever. It's when the Jews bought the Torah, if you want to get specific.
I love how you don't want to get into any more, but we're already down this road. And people, if they don't care, they're already tuned out. So great that you wouldn't want to get into the cheesecake holiday.
We were trying to break tie between you and Gilly for Jewish.
As Aaron Schatz famously said, Aaron Schatz, also tribesman, head of Football Outsiders, yeah. I'm going to have to get used to the, what was the word he used?
Cadence of the show.
Of this podcast. And he comes
plus.
Back
it's
every
a Jew
year.
Plus.
He still comes back.
Gilly, it's a Jew plus podcast.
It is.
What can we do? We can't slow it down. We can't slow it down.
Fascinating to me.
He went to Notre Dame.
Midwesterners.
Yeah.
can't slow it down for Midwesterners. I-O-W-A-I-W-A. What a team!
An Iowan who went to Notre Dame with us three. All right, so let's get this stuff out of the way before we get our picks. There's a few things we got to do. One, Survivor down 23.
Five poor Vikings selectors, including your buddy.
Joe Pita.
Who also won the booby prize.
I was saving this for next week on a numbers game. So Joe Pita is going to come on a numbers game on Tuesday, and he's going to describe, because I lived this through him on Tuesday. Because I went to the Raiders-Skins game, Raiders-Washington football team game, and we had red zone in front of us. And as soon as Goff hit that touchdown pass, I just slumped in my chair for Joe, who at $6 million survivor pool, Jeff, at Circa. And it started with 4,080 entries. Now there's 23 left. Joe got down to 28. So he's going to explain. Now, most gamblers are like, how do you hedge out of this? You don't hedge. Joe is a former Wall Street guy. So he did this entirely intricate thing that we're going to go through in a numbers game. And all while that was happening, he wins the quarterly booby.
That was my tweet, though, when they lost. I said, congrats to him, and I'm sure you made money off of this run.
He made a lot of money. He did fine. Yeah. But most people wouldn't have made anything.
Right. Well, I met a guy.
Yeah.
We met a guy after Derek and I did our hit with Femi Sunday morning that was one of the 28, and he had the Eagles. And I said, have you hedged at all yet? He said, him and his partner, this is what they do for a living. They're from California. They bet sports for a living. They bought six entries together. They each put in 3,000. They had this one left. I said, have you guys hedged at all yet? He said, no.
No.
Today I'm my first hedge. I'm going to bet, we bet 5,000 on the Jets money line today.
Yeah.
In case they, beat the Eagles. So I'm just giving an example of what's going on out there.
Yeah. So 23 left, what's that? Intrinsic value is like 200. I had it written down. But it's not quite 300,000.
Yeah.
The number would be, I'll check it on my phone. But it's a whopping number of the intrinsic value of the remaining 23. And you would think this week, by the way, here it is, everybody has Seattle available. Everybody has what else available? Tennessee available. 20 of 23 have the Chargers available. By the way, intrinsic value of the remaining is 200. I should have been prepared for this. I apologize. Pardon me. I know this is very exciting for all of you. Hold on. Intrinsic value, $260,869.57.
Now, there's also those that have the Chiefs and Buccaneers available that could possibly win an extra million should they get there.
They cannot play for the seventh million.
Well, they cannot, but they can.
But they can.
They should not, and they cannot. Not, but they can. So that's still in play.
Two of the remaining, it's 21 different people, 23, because two people still have two left. And then, Todd, how did we do? I did terribly last week. How did we all do last week?
Last week, everybody went 1-2. Mm-hmm.
Everybody went 1-2.
Me and Gilly were just inches away from going 2-1 late in the game with the back door with Matty Ice. Of course, Matty Ice cannot come through for us. So we all go 1-2. So the records stay 18-21 for Gilly. Mikey, 18-20-1, a tiny bit ahead of Gil. And me, two games back in the loss column, 17-22. However, there is news on the teaser front, as both Michael and Gilly went with the Minnesota Vikings, and Jared Goff not only knocks them out, but he gives me the middle, because I had the Lions money line with Minnesota +4.5, and I won my teaser. They lost their teasers. I now take a commanding lead in teasers.
Damn it.
8-5 to Mikey's 6-7 and Gil's 5-7-1.
I am 5-7-1 in teasers. That is brutal.
I'm 6-7. You know, he should also mention I came a swirling wind away from covering with the Bills on Monday night.
Okay.
The Bills was not the right side.
What are you talking about?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
You thought the Bills was the right side?
Yeah, so let's
Dr. Bob is like 98% on the year, and he had the Bills.
Okay. I'm saying watching the game. The Patriots deserve to cover that game.
So let me bring Jeff in for this. So yesterday on the radio, So I have Michael Lombardi on every, Wednesday. Wednesday on the show. I can't remember what day it is anymore. So, Michael.
Oh, do you mean God? God?
Okay.
God. Oh, my fault. Yeah, sorry.
Stop. Let me just tell my story. No. So, I, on Tuesday morning after the Bills-Patriots game, I made the, I guess, rather controversial statement. What I was saying was, great game plan, right? We all knew that New England was going to, you know, they're a run-heavy team to begin with the inclement weather, with the swirling winds, they're going to take even more advantage of that. Great. My statement Tuesday morning, though, was that I felt that Belichick did not play it completely optimally, because I thought in the second quarter he went extreme with not throwing it even once. And so, therefore, when the wind was behind him, he left open the door late for Buffalo to beat them 17-14. I even texted Todd and you guys during the game. I was like, if Buffalo comes back and wins this by a score, let's go back to that second quarter where even on that last drive in the second quarter, Buffalo gained 20 yards on first down under 2 minutes left.
New England did.
And he still figuratively punted on the drive. And literally, by the way, whatever they were doing at the end of that half, both of those coaches. So that was my point. Again, holding the one thought, like, great strategy, but also, yeah, I don't know, maybe he got away with it, was my phrase. And so Lombardi disagreed, which you're entitled to disagree with that.
He didn't disagree, he violently disagreed.
He violently disagreed, right? His words were, he violently disagreed with me.
That was the opener.
And said I was wrong, right? He said I was wrong, and he violently disagrees, and then says that, yes, Belichick played not to lose, which sounds to me like the disagreement was so violent that it's almost an agreement. So I'm curious where you stand on that, Jeff. That was only the half of it, by the way.
Yeah, look, obviously, I think Bill Belichick took a little bit of joy in winning the game with three passes, right? I think
that,
like, he loved that they did. But you're right. I mean, the Bills threw the ball with the wind, and they were fine. Obviously, Josh Allen has a cannon, and Mac Jones doesn't. But there were opportunities, especially with how much they run the ball, the play action pass. Again, it worked, and I think Belichick takes a lot of pride in it working the way he wanted it to work. But yeah, if they had lost, and I had the Bills minus 2.5, so I would have loved if they would have scored and won that game by three. But I think that what happened this year is people bash Bill Belichick so much in the offseason when Tom Brady won a Super Bowl, that guys like me who love Bill Belichick and the way he coaches were so like, you guys are wrong about this, he can still coach. And now that he's doing well this season, all of us are like, see, we told you, he can still coach, guys. You know, part of his issue had been as a GM. He was not great as a general manager. But he fixed that this year, right? He brought in players that have helped him. Matthew Judon's been a great addition. Some of the guys on defense, Hunter Henry, right? Obviously drafting Mac Jones. He's always been able to coach. And so I think a lot of us are being very loud about how wrong people were about Belichick this offseason.
It's an interesting point. So what it went further was then Michael explained to me, even when I gave a historical comparison, the 1986 NFC Championship, which you're too young probably, Jeff, to even remember, was after the Giants-Washington NFC Championship. Giants won the Super Bowl that year. It was the Gatorade, every win that year, even though the first Gatorade was 84, but that was the year that it was every game. So it was swirling winds at the Meadowlands, 40 mile per hour plus. And Bill Parcells, to this day, he said, because I remember the game, I was watching it, and this is where sort of my blink Malcolm Gladwell thing happened the other night, why I said what I said. What Parcells did was the Giants actually deferred. Washington was with the wind in the first quarter. The Giants actually took a 7-0 lead in the first quarter. And Parcells says to this day, that's why we won that game, because we understood how to play it. And then we just stepped on the gas in the second and we held back in the halftime and we won 17-0. So Lombardi said to me yesterday, and I like Michael Lombardi, but he was very, very, very adamant in his position that I was completely wrong, and he violently disagreed. What he said was, he goes, well, what you didn't understand, Gil, was that it was swirling winds, and so Belichick determined that he couldn't do anything. So then my counter was exactly kind of what you said about Josh Allen there. I said, well, then you have to concede that he must not have trusted Mac Jones completely, which to me sounds like an obvious comment that apparently was very controversial, and that sort of triggered a whole other thing, which is I won't bore you with. But anyway, I
think it's fair to say that Belichick would prefer to take the game out of Mac Jones' hands. I mean, that's not something that's
been doing that all year, Jeff.
Yeah, all year. It's not a controversial statement.
So I think that, again, I think that there's a novelty to winning a game with just three rushing attempts. I mean, three pass. Like he absolutely loves. They won this way. And whether or not it was the right way to do it, the wrong way to do it, the fact is that Belichick loves that he won a game in this manner, and now Buffalo's got to come to New England. Buffalo loses this weekend, which I think they do. I think they're a full two games back of New England. They're not going to win the AFC East, it appears.
Can I just say one thing? I bet the Patriots 41-1 and 32-1 a couple weeks ago to win the Super Bowl. I am 100% in your camp. Jeff Belichick did not forget how to coach. This is a man who won 11 games with Matt Castle at quarterback. Do you remember Matt Castle did not even start at USC? And he was able to win 11 games in the National Football League with Matt Castle at quarterback. Now, Brent Musburger, who was on this Megapod, said I'm crazy because he did a terrible job with Cam Newton, and he's a defensive coach. He's not a – well, I'm sorry, but I guess we're seeing right now that the Patriots are a different level of coaching than anybody else. And I remember reading this one time where they had this thing. They said every assistant coach has to go through every single play and tell what each player has to do on every single play. That pedantic level of detail is what separates Bill Belichick from everybody else and is what allows him to, with a rookie quarterback, put himself in a position where no one would expect him to have been at this point.
Brent did.
I don't think they're...
Go ahead.
I don't think they're winning a Super Bowl, though. So
But that's fine. But I can always hedge out, Jeff. If they get to the AFC Championship game, I can hedge for a lot of money.
Fair enough, but yeah. I understand why Brett was like, I'm not sure about those wagers.
Yeah. By the way, how about
No, he wasn't with the wagers. He was disagreeing with me that Belichick is making Mac Jones.
Okay.
I was saying Mac Jones is looks good because of the Patriots.
Todd, how's your 5-1 ticket on Notre Dame to make the playoffs?
How's that
not
going?
Looking very good. Looking very good.
By the way, it was plus 550. Okay.
Brent said to bet it, and I said, don't bet it. They're not getting in.
Mikey, it was still.
It was not a good bet. It's not a good bet.
How about Brent?
I made one good one and one bad one.
May I just say that Brent was here 3 weeks ago, and he was super open about his stance on all things Oakland Raiders, right? He spilled the beans on everything, and then nobody picked up on it. 3 weeks later, he goes on JT the Brick and says it, and every outlet is like, oh, Brent Musburger.
JT the Brick
broke this story. I'm like, did this not happen on our podcast? No, we don't count? Anyway. That was great of Brent, though, to be as open as he
was. Do you want to know whether you count or not? Did you want there me to answer that?
There it is.
No, you do not count.
We do not
sorry.
Count.
Wide left, Dilly. Off the post, you do not count.
Okay, we should probably do best bets then, huh? Let's start with best bets. Three
what
best
Thursday
bets.
Thursday night?
Oh, Thursday night. Your thoughts on Pitts, first of all, doesn't have to be a best bet, but just thoughts on Thursday night football. Tonight, Jeff, two teams that are... it's not a mathematical elimination game for Pittsburgh and Minnesota, but it might as well be. Pittsburgh 6-1-1 in one-score games this year, which is pretty amazing. They're 6-5-1 on the season, 6-1-1 in one scores. And then Minnesota is 5-7. They've lost seven games, all by a combined 28 points, each of which by one score. Minnesota by 3 currently.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Yeah, so the way I look at this game is Mike Tomlin, I'm trying to pull up the numbers now. He's fantastic against the spread as an underdog, right? We know that, obviously, especially at home. He's not at home right now, but he's on the road. And I look at a lot of games through my eyes as an offensive lineman, right? Who's better in the trenches? And right now, it's Pittsburgh, right? Minnesota's offensive line's beat up. Darisaw is probably not going to play tonight. Thielen is out as well, I believe, right now. Dalvin Cook might come back, but the Vikings actually play fine without him. But Pittsburgh's pass rush, guys, is going to get after Cousins the entire night. Like, I just think that you look at where the advantage is in this game. It's the Steelers' offensive line and defensive line against the Vikings. So I think Pittsburgh plus three is the play here. I don't feel great about it, but that's what I would take tonight.
Todd, do you think Pittsburgh's offensive line is good, Jeff? Because I think they're horrible. They can never get any holes for Najee at all.
Well, part of what helps them is Ben throws the ball very quickly because he's afraid of pressure, and the Vikings just don't pressure very well. They're one of the lowest teams in the NFL in pressure rate. So we won't have to worry about the offensive line being a concern because the offensive line is better than we give them credit for. I think teams just don't respect Ben's ability to pass the ball, so they load up the box against Pittsburgh.
Todd, definitely load the box.
Todd, you get a play. You have a play here, Todd?
No, I have no play. I mean, these are the most unpredictable teams in the NFL. Every game, it comes down to something crazy at the end. I happen to have the Ravens on the money line last week in that ridiculousness with Harbaugh going for two. By the way, is Justin Tucker not the best kicker in the history of football? Wouldn't you maybe want to go to overtime with him? I don't know. Anyways,
he said he had no corners. He said he had no corners.
Don't you think that that was a close decision, though, that he shouldn't be trashed for that?
Yeah.
I'm not trashing him. Whoa, I'm not trashing him. I'm just saying I was hoping to go to overtime with my Ravens money line ticket. That's what I was hoping for.
Weren't you rather hoping to convert to two?
I didn't want to take that chance. I would much rather go to overtime with the better team. But with the better team, with the better team, don't you want to go to overtime and the better kicker?
They hadn't stopped them the last two drives.
The Steelers are just terrible on offense. I know they look good in the fourth quarter. It's my team. We're not a good team. Come on. It's a joke. We're the Ravens are better than
this. TJ Watt disturbed that play just enough. Just enough. You have a play on this tonight?
I do. This is my third best bet.
This is the game I want
Let's
no
hear
part
it, Mikey.
Of.
I want
Let's
over.
Hear it.
I want over. I want over in this game. You know why? I think there's going to be defensive scoring in this game. Okay?
Over 45?
Yeah, over 45.
Over 44.
4.5,
over,
44.5, or
44?
Over 44. All right, 44.
Over 44.
Look, the Vikings are not going to be able to run the football. Jeff's right. That means they're going to have to throw the football with Cousins. They're going to make plays, and they're not going to make plays, right? They're going to get sacks and interceptions. They're also going to hit some things deep down the field. And I think that the Steelers will be able to move the ball. The Ravens' defense puts much more pressure on than the Vikings does. Ben's going to have time to throw the ball around there. I mean, he's going to complete some 50-50 jump balls tonight. Yeah. I think the Vikings are in a very bad way here. I like the Steelers to win the game also, but I think there's going to be scoring here. I can see this game 27-24, somewhere in that range. Either way, but I really think the Steelers have the advantage, even though they're on the road on the short week.
Are you jumping ship on Kirk Cousins, your favorite guy?
Fuck him. Listen, Todd, I watched
wow.
that.
Wait a second. Stop the press.
I watched that.
Mikey said something against Cousins.
I watched that whole game last week. That whole game for many reasons.
Yeah.
Okay, but I watched that whole game. There was only one time that there was third or seven or longer that he threw the ball beyond the sticks. Once in the entire game. Everything short, 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 and punt. They might as well punt on third down and hope for a roll with this guy. He is a joke here. They paid him all this money.
So you finally come around to the Jewish way of thinking.
I can't take it. I can't take it anymore.
He stinks.
He stinks.
I hate him.
You were right when Gil had the torn Achilles. You were right when we were on with Lombardi and you said, Mikey, how can you bet on Kirk Cousins? You were right.
Gil, can I get those tennis balls back?
Writhing in pain. What are you going to do with those balls?
Can I get those tennis balls back?
I just want to say, I want to tip my hat to Mikey for admitting, finally coming around, the first step in any addiction is to say that you have a problem. And he has now finally said that Kirk Cousins is a problem, and I have to feed him, and I give him a round of applause. Great job, Mike.
I'm not there on E yet.
So as a Washington fan, right, this was the issue. They kept signing him to the one-year deals. He bet on himself for 1 year. It worked out beautifully for him financially. But this is, and Jeff knows this better than we do, the cruelty of the NFL economic system with quarterbacks, right? You only win a quarterback with a guy overperforming on a rookie contract if you're a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Right? And so that it's this weird middle point where these teams are forced to make nine-figure decisions. In the case of Kirk Cousins, it was $84 million. But now, nine-figure decisions on guys that you just don't quite know yet if they're going to win you a Super Bowl. So it's like Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, like that period. And it's so difficult, right? I mean, like, it's impossible.
The Browns are going to have to do this with Baker Mayfield, right? Are they going to pay Baker Mayfield, or are they going
to
franchise him? Or
can
like,
they?
What do they do, right? Because, are they going to draft the quarterback? This is not the year to draft the quarterback, right? This is not the best year for that. So did you let him play out? And what if he actually plays well next season? Like, a lot of teams are stuck in this spot because you're exactly right. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the NFL. There's not a lot of great quarterbacks that can lead you to a Super Bowl. Like, that's the big difference between even like a Dak Prescott and like a Pat Mahomes, right? I think Dak's a really good quarterback, but he hasn't been able to get to that point. He hasn't played an NFC Championship game yet. And I think Dak's really good though. And maybe this is the year for them. I don't think it is, but you're exactly right. It's a lot of money, man, for these guys that are good, but probably not elite.
Jeff, do you think it's, do you agree with Stefanski scoffing at the question of playing Case Keenum at this point?
I thought he should have played a couple weeks ago. I think Baker Mayfield is now he's off a bye, so it might be a little bit different. This week, for example, guys, the Ravens are so injured. Like, the Browns are off a bye, they're healthier. You have to figure that Baker is a little bit healthier, right? They got some guys back in the run game. You got to think the Browns are going to win this game because the Ravens are so beat up. They can't keep. It's basically Lamar Jackson every week just trying to make magic out of nothing each week. But I don't think Stefanski's covered a game in division yet in his time as Browns head coach. Like, there's a lot of things riding on this game. Yeah, I don't think he has if you go check the numbers on that. So I'm curious about this, but the Ravens are just so good. The Browns have to win this weekend. Like, they don't have a choice. If you can't beat this team with 20 guys on injured reserve, then just pack things up and get ready for next season.
And this is the weirdest scheduling quirk where Cleveland played Baltimore, has a bye, and then plays Baltimore again, which Miami and the Jets were supposed to do last year, but didn't materialize, obviously. By the way, back to that quarterback thing. I said out loud on the show, I was like, when the Rams had Jared Goff, they should be the first team to agree to themselves, we got everybody else in place, he's not our guy, let's outright not pay him and redraft a quarterback. And, of course, that would have made people's heads explode, but that was the first guy. They got bailed out by the Stafford trade in the end.
I said that about Baker Mayfield this offseason. I said the Browns should trade up for one of those quarterbacks in this draft and take after what the Chiefs did with Alex Smith.
Yeah. These teams just don't have the onions to do it, though, for the reasons, for obvious reasons, too, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Best bets. Jeff, we start with you. We'll start with one. What do you got?
Okay, so I give my three best bets for my show later today on Fox Digital. Can I do a teaser for one of them? That's what I have for
we have a teaser of the week coming later. So it can only be a side or a total.
Okay, so I'll go with the Chiefs and Raiders under this weekend. The Chiefs have gone under, I believe, six of the last seven games. The Raiders offensively each week kind of not quite sure. Chiefs defense is a lot better. I think the total is like 49, somewhere around this. So give me Chiefs Raiders under.
48 right now. Yeah.
Chiefs Raiders under.
48 Chiefs Raiders under for Jeff Schwartz. Michael Palm. Michael Palm, we didn't give your full credentials. Conciliary to Derek Stevens at Circus Sports, Vice President of Operations, co-host of Odds On with Amal Shaw, who will be the guest next week on this podcast.
But wait a second, he's also the part of the board of the American Gaming Association.
On the board of the American Gaming Association.
People to not have IRS tax problems unless they get a 500-to-1 or some nonsense like that over $1,200.
Mikey, do you want a beverage?
Yes.
Wow. Just thumbs up and she knows what to bring.
Yeah, they know. They don't, depending on the day and the time.
Wow.
What to bring.
Look at that.
I'm going to take the football team. Straight
Mikey
up.
Mikey always takes my picks.
Mike McCarthy
just guaranteed they're winning the game. I mean, that's all the impetus I needed.
We're going to win this game. I'm confident in that.
Well, he's been there at Landover and there's clear views of the play clock. And it's really, look, yes. They're better than Dallas. I'm going to tell you this right now. I watched this game against the Saints. I downgrade Dallas a lot on that game. They were playing against a guy that had a middle finger that can't even play every down.
Mallet finger.
He couldn't throw the ball. I mean, they couldn't do anything. They had one run. They tried to run the ball. They couldn't run the ball. They had one run where Pollard, the linebacker took a bad angle there, and they let Pollard get free.
Dak doesn't look
healthy. They can't run the ball. Dak's inaccurate. He looks very inaccurate, right?
He doesn't look like he wants to run it.
I don't like this Kellen Moore as a play caller. I think he's a bad play caller.
Really?
Look at they get the ball with 5 minutes up two scores, and he throws two incomplete passes and punts. He took 30 seconds off. What kind of offense is this? No. This is like crystal ball. Listen,
oh, man.
The football team is a better team than the Cowboys, and the football team is going to win on Sunday in Landover. Give me 4.5.
You just hit Jeff right. That's actually
Mikey, I don't mean to do this to you, but most places have it at 4. I'm sorry. I was going to take them 2, but most places have them at 4.
I said they're going to win, so what do I care? Give me the 4.
Okay. That's fine. I'm just giving it to you for the right grades. That's all.
By the way, Jeff, Oregon and Oklahoma, who you got? Bowl game.
Nobody. You should not wager on this game. There are two interim coaches with like half their staffs gone. Why would you
right, so you
spend
in game
a single cent?
In game.
Right, so Jeff, you in game.
In game what? Oregon might start Anthony Brown and play their all freshmen the rest of the game. How can you in game? You have no idea who's playing that game and how much they're going to play.
That's a very acceptable answer. But I do like the
you have a better chance than pre-gaming it, that's for
well,
sure.
Well, you know, in-game for college.
If you want to take a Pac-12 game, take Utah plus the points in the Rose Bowl.
All right. Utah plus the points. Todd, what's your first pick? Todd.
Okay.
Todd, how did it go when your mom was out of town? How did it go? No one broke into the house?
Everything was able to be held down to acceptable levels. And, it was all good. The mail was taken in properly. It was all good.
Did you have enough cereal in the house that you were fed properly?
I don't eat cereal, Gil, but, the mocking part of our Megapod is now over, Gilly. Thank you.
Oh, the portion. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Did you say Cork Attic yet?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure because that really bothers some people.
It really does. Why do you have to say where Todd is? Sorry. Apologies.
Are we done, Gilly?
We're done. Sorry.
Okay. Can we move on to some real meat and potatoes football talk for a moment? Thank you. I would like to take the New York Jets, Jets.
Wow.
I'm going to take +5, unless you guys are going to get 5.5. Mike, can I have 5.5 or 5?
It's 5.
Speaking
it's
to
five.
Your mic, Todd.
It's 5, Todd.
I am.
What happened?
We can't hear you all of a sudden, Todd. Get that mic right up in your mouth. Come on.
It's probably better that way.
His mother's making a long-distance phone call. We're all done here.
That's right. His mom's making a collect call somewhere.
Can you guys hear me now? Okay, are you done with your hysterics?
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, thanks. The hysterics, now that everybody's had a great time. Wow. Okay. The New York Jets. I want to take them because they're going against Taysom Hill. I don't think this guy is a quarterback in the National Football League. I watched the game against the other day. I mean, come on. This is not a quarterback in the NFL. I'm sorry. You want to bring him in inside the 5-yard line for some trickaroo nonsense? That's fine. He's not an every down quarterback. You're giving the Jets now 5 points against a team that is not good on offense. The Jets, they did beat Cincinnati at home. Sooner or later, they're gonna rise up and keep one of these games close. I think this might be the week. 5 points is a lot of points to be giving on the road when your quarterback is not a National Football League quarterback. So give me the +5 with the Jets. Thank you.
Alvin Kamara will play for the Saints in this game.
Is he playing quarterback? He should play quarterback because the other guy stinks.
The Taysom Hill thing, we were talking about quarterback contracts where they have to make a decision on big, huge multi-year deals for these guys. What's the deal with the Saints outbidding themselves for Taysom Hill?
I think Taysom Hill might have new pictures of Sean Payton because I just don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And Jeff, what would be the problem with that again now? I'm just kidding.
Why Taysom Hill's getting all that money? I mean, it's like, I'm just jealous that I didn't have new pictures of my coach. We would have paid a lot more.
Yeah, it's amazing. My first play is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We're going to be up. Oh, Gilly, I love it.
Oh, is it 3 or 3.5?
I believe it's 3.5 most places. What do you have? I have 3.5 most places.
All right, 3.5 by the time we did this show. I don't see how Buffalo turns around quickly here and is I won't say competitive, but I don't see how they keep it this close against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, that game against Atlanta, by the way, even though we only lost the cover by a score, that pick six at the end of the first half was just utter nonsense by Tampa Bay. That should have been a blowout, and we weren't even close to winning that, really. Tampa Bay is about as solid of a team As we're getting here, Arizona, you know, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, I think those are the three best teams in the NFC, maybe the NFL, quite frankly, because everybody else has a little flaw right now, though I love Tennessee at full strength and though I love Indianapolis. But I think those are the three best teams right now, and I think Tampa Bay is just as solid as they come, and I think the Bills – listen, if I know Tampa Bay is not built like New England. New England, in some respects, is built to beat Buffalo, so it's not a fair comparison. But I'll take my chances with Tom Brady figuring out that defense. Thank you very much. If the Patriots can just do the Riggo drill, right, what Washington used to do in the 80s and say, here's our one back, we're running it at you, try to stop us. I think Tom Brady can figure his way around a defense like that. And I just think that line is low, and I'm taking Tampa Bay. Minus 3.5.
I'll go to my second pick right now because I was going to wait till do Tampa till the end, but I'm with you on Tampa Bay here. I think part of it with Buffalo is there just been a lot of offensive regression this year. They haven't been able to fix a lot of their issues, mostly because their offensive line is not as good as it was last year. And Josh Allen's back to being erratic. And when you play Tampa Bay's defense, yeah, their secondary is a little beat up right now, but that defensive line, especially with Vita Vea back, is really elite.
Yes.
And teams have trouble moving the ball on Tampa Bay, especially if you have an erratic quarterback. On the flip side, the most underappreciated unit in the NFL is Tampa Bay's offensive line. They're number one in the NFL in adjusted line yards, according to Football Outsiders. They're number one in the NFL in pressure rate, basically allowing the least amount of pressure on the quarterback in the NFL. They're an elite unit, guys. And right now what they're doing is exactly what they did at the back half of last season, right? They're winning and covering games. They look like a machine right now. Boom, boom, boom. Also, Buffalo now is going from cold weather to warm weather. I always thought that was very difficult to do at the end of the season. I like Tampa here. I got him at minus 3, but 3.5 I'll take anyways.
Todd, point counterpoint. By the way, Vita Vea is so nimble for his size. It's unbelievable if you watch film on
yes.
him. It's incredible. What's the counter to this, Todd? You on Buffalo?
I want to take Buffalo plus 3.5. I just think that, you know, I know that the Bucks have looked amazing the last 3 weeks. They crushed the Giants. They beat Indianapolis. They crushed Atlanta. But they also lost to Taylor Heinicke. Does anybody remember a 10-minute drive by Taylor Heinicke at the end of the game against the team? I mean, Woofties, the WFTs drove it right down their throats at the end of the game. I don't think Tampa Bay is this juggernaut.
Vita Vea was out by then, by the way. It should be pointed
okay,
out.
Okay, fair yeah. enough. Look, I agree. Tampa Bay is a great team. But Buffalo is almost a Super Bowl contender. So if you're giving me that hook, I want to take Buffalo plus the 3.5. I think Buffalo is in the NFL. I like to go against teams that have had a little nice positive run with a team that has had a little bit of a negative run because there seems to always be a regression to the mean in the NFL. So I'd like Buffalo plus 3.5.
You really think Buffalo's a Super Bowl contender at this point?
Well, I mean, I don't know about Super. They're definitely in the top three in the AFC, aren't they? Who's better than them in the AFC besides, you know, maybe the Chiefs and the Patriots? Who's really that much better than them?
Tennessee at full strength?
Yeah, I said the Chiefs and I said besides the
Colts.
Chiefs and maybe the Patriots.
Tennessee at full strength.
The Colts. Okay. The Colts.
But they're in the conversation. You can't just throw them out of the conversation.
Jeff explained to me how you can run the ball against an 8 and a 9-man box like the Patriots did on Monday night.
Well, so on the touchdown run, the Bills just didn't fill that run right from their defense. Or the safety overran. It was a toss, right? And he thought the ball was going outside. The linebacker forced it back inside. Harris made a great cut and it was really well blocked inside by the right guard and the right tackle. And he just cut it back, and the safety, I think, just ran. You watch him, he just ran right out the play. And then, it wasn't like they had a bunch of efficient runs. They just kind of grinded it out, right? They ran left, they ran right, they ran inside, they ran outside. And they just
But how are they able to get, Jeff? How are they able to get 5 and 6 yards a carry when they're loaded in the box? Most teams can't do that in the NFL.
I think for a while Buffalo just kind of thought they were going to eventually not do it anymore. And then if you notice in the last couple of drives, their linebackers just started running through. They're like, screw this. Play action pass is not going to happen. I think they just kept thinking like, there's no way you're going to keep doing this to us. They're going to eventually throw the ball. In the last couple of drives, Matt Milano just started running right through because they realized they weren't going to throw the ball at all.
This was the beauty of being raised on the Hogs in the 80s. One back, he's getting the ball. The entire stadium knows John Riggins is getting the ball. The defense is can't do a damn thing about it. Get Joe Jacoby in the Hall of Fame.
Part of it, too, when you run against 8 and 9 man boxes is you're always going to have one free guy on defense. And that free guy has to make the tackle. So you put your running backs like Harris did on that long run. It's him against a safety. If you block everyone up properly, if you count up right, and you do your job, there's always one free guy. And that's gone away in the NFL because why would you run into a free guy? I mean, there were so many times in my early in my career, 2008, 9, 10, when like the free guy just made the play and it was like, oh, okay, well, I guess he just made a play. Now offenses don't run the ball into the free guys. They RPO it. And so this was kind of an old school style of running the football in that game.
Yeah, by the way, we didn't even mention at the top when I was going through all of Jeff's, all the things that he does media-wise. For those who don't know, Jeff played in the National Football League, was an offensive lineman for the better part of a decade. For 14, we should probably point that out at the beginning.
What position did you play, Jeff? Did you play guard or tackle?
Both.
What did you prefer?
Excuse me?
What did you prefer, guard or tackle?
Oh, guard, by far, right guard.
Why?
Yeah. At tackle, I was on an island too much. I'm not very patient, so guard, I like to get my work done as quickly as possible, and so the guy was typically right in front of me, but I knew, like, my time in the NFL was getting a little bit long when those three techniques kind of moved a little bit further away from me. Now that I'm so wide, I hate it. I don't want to play tackle anymore. So I don't know how I would do playing football now, but I loved early part of my career, man. I'm huge. Just like guys just would run into me. I loved it. Now they try to run around you.
Jeff,
what did you play at? What was your height and weight in NFL?
Six and a half, 340.
Man.
Yeah.
Jeff, I'm sensing a theme. You like to have your work as an offensive lineman done quickly, and you also said you like working from home, not necessarily a coach in the future.
Who 10-hour, like 10, 12, college coaching, where you have to convince high school kids to like you? I'm out.
Mike, Jeff, how many calories a day did you have to eat to stay 340?
Everyone asks me this question. I have no idea. I've been this big like since I was 18 years old. I just eat food. I have no idea how many calories. That's probably why I'm still big now.
Jeff, so
what do you weigh now? What do you weigh now?
About the same.
My all-time high is 344.5.
People either gain a bunch of weight or lose a bunch of weight when they're done playing linemen. Like, very few, just like me, just like stay the exact same weight.
Yeah, we see a lot of those offensive linemen. They're a shell of their former selves.
Todd is not 6'6" and a half, but he is at the net.
I was going to say.
He's 11 feet taller
than
the net.
When he goes to the net in tennis, he's 10 feet tall. Like, how do I get this?
No, the most I ever weighed was, I'm 6'1". The most I ever weighed was 344 pounds. In June of 2012.
Wow.
I'm currently 284 and going the wrong way fast.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
It's football season, man. It's you just watch football and eat this time of year. I get it.
Yeah, it's a big problem.
Jeff's brother, Mitchell.
I don't know how you volume gamble like college basketball. It's incredible.
Oh, it's the greatest. Oh, it's the greatest thing ever. Last year I went about 400 and 300, and a lot of those plays I put on Twitter. Because here's the thing, Jeff, no one's really studying the first half box scores properly, and they don't realize that pace has a tremendous determinant in over-under bets. Why is that a stereotype?
I'm sorry.
Why is that a stereotype?
The idea of you studying like the first half box score of like Monmouth and like...
Oh, it's fantastic, though. There's gems in there. Like yesterday, Drake.
I believe you. Drake, I just don't have time in my life for that.
Oh, it's fun. So much fun. The best thing. Mikey, isn't Drake from Iowa?
Yeah, Des Moines. Des Moines.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, last night, Drake, first half, the game was playing way too fast. I took the over second half, easy over against Omaha.
So funny you bring up Monmouth. My my what I used to call my nephew, but when I was married, right? He plays football at Monmouth. You know, with these NIL stuff, so all these guys are getting all these deals. So he plays at FCS school at Monmouth. And I'm like, are you modeling clothes now? What's your story? He goes, well, I figured I wear these people's clothes anyway. So I called them up and I said, hey, I'll wear your shit. And they sent him clothes now all this time. All these college. Yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Can I get an NIL deal?
You cannot.
Amazing.
By the way, Iowa State tonight, Jeff. Iowa State has to go up. Iowa can't ever go up.
The women's game was
like no defense.
The women's
game.
You
know what, Mike?
He's not gonna
what is
talk.
It, Mikey? Go ahead.
The women's game was last night. Iowa State and Iowa State, both top 15 teams, and Iowa State
beat them for the first time in 7 years. It was a big...
Okay, but tonight the Iowa game is going over because Iowa is my most favorite over team in college basketball. They play zero defense, and they're tremendous on offense. They're like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from a couple years ago.
Todd said he went 400 and 300 last year in college basketball. Greg Peterson had the same record one Saturday.
By the way, Mikey, you can watch. Look at my Twitter. Probably 300 or 400 of the plays are on Twitter, and they're not Greg Peterson type plays where the line is shaved.
I believe you.
I don't I don't have time to read your Twitter when I'm live betting, Todd. Okay.
Was it annoying you when Todd was interrupting you there four times?
Why do I let myself get upset? Is what I say.
Remember, whatever
look,
he has to say.
If you're going
to
filibuster like you're doing right now, if you're going to filibuster, you're going to get interrupted.
As long as you understand, whatever he has to say is more important than what you have to say, everything's good.
Mitch McConnell, let's move on. I tried
to tell him my Lombardi story yesterday, and how many times did you interrupt me while I was screaming at him in the car? I was like, could you let me?
No, because you don't answer. Yeah, and then I let you talk, and you forgot where you were going.
Yeah,
because
you interrupted me five times. Because you interrupted me five times. Can't remember where I was, this kid. All right, is it your turn? Number two.
I gave my three, but this will be my last pick.
Wait, you gave your three?
Yeah, I said Pittsburgh over was my third one.
Oh, okay.
My third pick. My second pick is the Monday night game.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
And I think the Arizona Cardinals sweep the Rams in the season series. I'm going to lay the 2.5 points. In fact, I can't decide who's the best team in the NFC right now. I don't know. It's Packers, it's Bucks, it's Arizona. They're all right there, and then there's a big drop-off, in my opinion.
I think so, too.
I just think it's down to three right now.
Betting market agrees, though.
But this Arizona's very balanced. I mean, the defense can put pressure on you. I like what they do. Chicago's a tough place to go in and play in bad weather, and they played well on both sides of the ball there. I mean, they kept it going with Colt McCoy, a quarterback, or 2 wins in 3 weeks. This is a very solid team. I worry a little bit about Kingsbury in the playoffs and his managing of the game, but they're right there with anybody here. The Rams, I'm down on the Rams.
Me too.
They beat a high school team last week. Who cares in Jacksonville? I still haven't seen Matt Stafford play good in 6 weeks, so... play well in 6 weeks. I'm with the Cardinals.
6 years.
Here.
How about 6 years?
I feel like the Rams are the team that makes the playoffs and then just gets smoked. It's all great on paper. It's like the early 2000 Skins when they had Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders 5 years past their prime. I just feel like it's number two.
Billy, you didn't give your second. You didn't give your second pick.
He has not.
That is correct. It is my turn, Todd. That's how this works. Number two for me. Number two for me will be, where did it go? That's my whole music. Oh, I'm also on Washington. I'm Washington plus four. I'm on the DC Skins, baby. Going for their fifth in a row. The issue, though, here is, by the way, for those wondering, Ryan Fitzpatrick out for the year. I know you were very curious. Curtis Samuel has not really made a contribution either. He's been in and out of the lineup. Snap count, he's still a little banged up. That's not good. Logan Thomas is out for probably the rest of the regular season, if not the rest of the whole season. That's huge also. That's a good safety net for Taylor Heinicke to have Logan Thomas. So That's the negative with Washington. So they go back to how they were before with Terry McLaurin being most of the offense and hoping to get something from Antonio Gibson. Terry McLaurin unstoppable, and Taylor Heidecke's got to make just enough plays. But that defense.
Gil, I said on my show that I think Terry McLaurin is a top five wide receiver, and I'm all laughed at.
Unstoppable.
He laughed at me. He says he's not close to the top five.
He's top 10. I don't know if he's top five. There's some really good receivers.
I don't know. To my eye, he's as good as there is. I mean, the guy is tremendous. He's their whole team.
He is their
whole think
team.
About that. There's no other options, really.
Great kid, too. But the defense, Washington's defense is different. When Chase Young went out, and I love Chase Young. Chase Young went out for the season. But I said, this reminds me of LeVar Arrington, right? Uh-huh. Great individual talents who just couldn't help themselves from freelancing. And Chase Young just always kind of, he just goes up the field, right? He's never doing that. And I think Chase Young is smart enough to, unlike LeVar Arrington was, Chase Young can figure this out. But they're actually better without him right now. And that has shown. Montez Sweat not going to be here. He now has COVID too, so he's not back. He was supposed to be. But that defense is playing much, much better. And I agree with everything Mikey said about Dallas, which is also that Dak doesn't look right. He doesn't look like he wants to run, which is a huge dimension, I think, for them. He just wants to throw it at all costs. Jerry Jones and that whole Cowboys brass is still playing Zeke Elliott's contract where they're like, we got to fulfill this contract. We got to give him the ball and not give it to Pollard with a really bad percentage. But Amari Cooper's a big deal, and we'll see if he's on another pitch count with Dallas. But give me the 4 points. I'll take Washington here, hopefully to win outright and make this a division race, but I'll take the 4 points in Washington.
Were you impressed being at the game with Washington on Sunday?
I was. I think, I mean, the Raiders without Waller is so difficult, though. Yeah. You know, but I would love it. That was, what a great experience, by the way. You've been to a game at Allegiant?
I have not. I'll be at the BYU Notre Dame game in October.
Oh, nice.
That's going to be my first experience.
It was awesome, and we had the red zone right in front of us. It was very cool.
We have actually, for the Las Vegas Bowl, because we're a sponsor and we paid a lot of money to get TV, we actually have like 30 sideline passes.
Really?
If I can go on that day, if I'm free on that night, the 30th, I'd like to go and be on the sideline.
That would be very nice.
It might be one of the better Vegas Bowls. It's Arizona State, Wisconsin. Normally that game is like Pac-12 8 and Mountain West number 1, and like the Pac-12 gets their butts whooped. But this is a pretty good game.
The contract now, Jeff, is it rotates Pac-12 4 against Big Ten 4, SEC 4. Every other year.
It's much better.
Yeah, much better.
Much better now.
There are things about Jeff that I keep forgetting to mention as the show goes on. I'm reminded of it. Your record in Pac-12 games this year, Jeff, was what?
31-12.
So the man knows of what he speaks.
Yeah.
He doesn't know Shavuos, though.
He doesn't know Shavuos. Neither do I.
Because it's not even in Hebrew. I don't even know what language it is.
Well, Shavuot
is Hebrew.
It is not Hebrew.
It's Shavuot.
And Shavuot is not in the Pac-12. So how should he know?
Yeah, exactly. Bingo. Exactly right.
If cheesecake in the Pac-12.
You don't hear about ASU at Shavuot. That doesn't happen. So how should he know? Number three, Jeff, what do you got? Last one.
I like the Niners here plus the point and a half. I think that's what it's at now. They're 7th in DVOA. The Bengals are 18th. And whenever we think the Bengals are actually good, they get their butts whooped. Like, they kind of have this thing where they're just not ready for the limelight yet. I think the Niners are going to go into Cincinnati and just handle their business. Shanahan is great. I think 60% against the spread after a loss. And so give me the Niners here plus the point and a half. I think they win in this game.
They're actually minus one. I don't think it's going to change your opinion.
Wait, they moved to minus one?
Yeah.
Does that mean Debo's playing? Is that why it moved? Do we know?
I don't know. I'm just looking. They're either one or one and a half Niners.
Okay, well, that moved a lot from even yesterday when I wrote this down. I'll take it. Okay, minus a point and a half. I'm in.
Okay.
Boy, Jimmy G was rough the other day against Seattle, wasn't he? Oof.
Yeah,
when is he not,
that's what you get with him, though, right? It's just up and down.
What the hell was Bozo the Carroll doing not taking the field goal when you're up by 7 with 4 minutes to go? What was wrong? What's he doing? Oh, I mean, he made it, but then they fumble. I mean, it was just.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I didn't notice
you
that.
Weren't there. Yeah. You were at the game. Yeah. That game had the feel, the emotion on the sidelines, like it was that NFC Championship game again. Both sidelines were – I mean, it was a crazy game with a lot of things that went on.
San Francisco forced 2 turnovers at the goal line, right? Yeah, so it could have been much, much worse. That I did see.
I had a huge bet on the game landing odd because it was 30-23.
I feel bad.
And in the fourth quarter, it was 30-23, and I was thinking, well, it's got to be odd, right? Because even if they tie at 30-all, It's going to end 33-30, right? So that stays odd. But then the only way you could really lose there is if they had the overtime and it went 36-30. But it was a good bet, Mike. You can laugh at me all you want. It was a great bet.
When Jason Robbins finds out you're betting even and odd, you're out.
Excuse me, Mikey. It is there. Obviously, they have it up there. They have it up there for a reason. They want people to bet it. It's not like
what's
it's
the
Circle.
Juice? What's the juice?
It's Circle. We'll take all comers. Of
what juice? What juice did you lay on the odd, Todd, on that game?
I think it was -115. It was,
very good.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question about Circa. Do you think you guys are too mouthy on social?
Oh, I lost.
What happened?
What'd you say, Gail? I lost my thing.
I said, do you think you guys are too mouthy on social?
Can you hear me?
Mouthy, I can hear
what
you.
Way?
Oh, Lord.
Mouthy, what way?
That, I think, yes.
What are you saying, Todd?
You mean mouthy is in that they're the greatest and everyone else is terrible?
Yeah, not in so many words, yes. Uh-oh,
is that what social media is?
Yeah, but you want your business doing that, I guess.
Call Jason. I can't hear them.
Hey, Jason, we got a mic check on Mike Palm. Mike Palm was so flustered.
So I'll answer your question if no one else is speaking. I can't hear if they are or not.
Yes.
I would like some of us to be less mouthy.
Thank you.
Because it's it's a glass house, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be things that we're not good at, things that we mess up on, things that. And
for example,
I don't know if we need to be called cockroaches, as somebody said.
Todd, stop for 1 second. Let him finish. Now go. Yes. What? Todd?
Ask him, because I don't know if he can hear me. Ask him if they even have. What's their in-game situation now? Do they even have in-game?
He said, "What's your in-game situation?" He said, "What's your in-game situation?" He asked.
My in-game one. With
your in-game
Circa
situation. Circa, yeah.
All NFL games and the major college game. Like, in each window for major college football, we'll book 4 games in each window. 9-1.
Okay, that's
like
not
that.
Too bad.
Okay. Jason?
I can't hear them. I want to hear Jeff. I don't care about Todd.
There we go. Oh, you're right. Thank you, man.
Thanks,
appreciate
Mike.
It.
Very all nice. Right.
Mic check coming for a cleanup on
okay, I can hear Gil now.
There you go.
Wonderful. Sorry about that.
All right. So Jeff gave his third, which means it's your turn, Mike.
Me no, I already you. Gave
no,
mine.
Mike gave
Pittsburgh
three.
Over.
Your turn, Todd.
Okay. I was going to go with...
Yeah, Pittsburgh over was Pittsburgh. My third. Yeah.
Remember, he jumped early. He jumped the line on Thursday night.
Well, because it was Thursday night.
Yes.
Okay, Mikey, you're the best. We all love you. It's fantastic, okay? Now, here's the third one. I would like to take – I was going to take WFT, but I do know – that was my first thing I even wrote down. What? I do know that every time me, you, and Mike pick the same game, we never, ever, ever win.
Never.
On top of that, I need some game theory here, because if I'm behind you guys, I can't be picking the same game as you if I'm going to make the Brown. So I am going to get rid of my WFT pick, and I'm going to go with my tried and true – the one and only, the one who never usually lets me down, and that is the under in Florida, in Jacksonville Jaguars. They're not Miami, but I'll sing anyway. Jacksonville Jaguars can't score. Give me the under 43.5. I'll take under 43.5 with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think I've made it clear my opinion on their offense pretty much every single week. For the last 8 million weeks in a row. This team cannot get the ball in the end zone. I expect them not to be able to get the ball in the end zone again against the Titans. I believe I picked it almost exactly right last week, 38-7 or something like that. I think this will be the same typical scenario. The Titans are still don't have all their offense, so I'm looking 31 for them. Jacksonville gets 10. I believe that adds up to 41. Give me under 43.5. In the Jacksonville Jaguars game.
All right, my number three was going to be the Atlanta Falcons. It was earlier in the week, but now it's 2.5, so it's not the Atlanta Falcons.
You don't learn your lesson with that Matty Ryan.
Really,
we got to stay away from him.
Really,
he's like
don't.
Philly Rivers. He loves burning money. Don't touch Matty Ice.
Hate to do this, Mike, but I'm also taking Arizona as my number three. Arizona crushed the Rams earlier this year in L.A. Crushed them. And I think that was one of the funnier, or not funnier, but one of the results early in the year where we all kind of looked up and like, wow, how did that happen? Because we all thought so highly of the Rams and not so highly of the Cardinals. I see no reason to go off this. I want to be on Kyler Murray's side here. It looks like he's a go. Looks like he's back for this. Well, he was already back. But looks like everything's intact. DeAndre as well. I don't think the Rams are a very good football team right now. I don't think highly of Stafford. I like Arizona. Number three.
Okay, right. That means, Mike, you and Gil, the only way you guys could even change spots is if Tampa Bay covers and the under comes in the Vikings, because you both have two of the same picks.
You like that, don't you?
No, I'm just mentioning.
8 weeks to go.
No, that's fine. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with
game
that.
Game theoring us already.
Yeah. That's the only way that anything can happen. But in the teasers, he has a mathematically insurmountable lead.
Insurmountable. All right, teaser of the week. Two-leg, six-point teaser of the week. Jeff.
I'm going with Seattle and Green Bay. Davis Mills is starting for the Texans. He's 0-6 so far this season, and they've lost one game by three and the other one by double digits. I'm not really sold on Seattle, but I'm fairly certain the Texans are in complete take mode, right? They cut one of their better players this past week. They keep on doing things like that. So I'll take Seattle. The other leg, I'm going to pull up my numbers here, but their leg is the Packers at home against the Bears. Man, how about this? Matt LaFleur, 5-0 against the spread against the Bears. Rodgers covers 65% of his home games. He's 24-12 against the spread in division at home. He's 5-0 against the spread versus the North off a bye. The Bears season is over. Like, give me them under, what's 12.5? 12 right now?
6.5.
Under a touchdown.
Yeah, so give me
under a touchdown. I'll take Packers and Seahawks.
You know, the Texans, first of all, how bad are the Texans that Seattle's an 8-point road favorite? It's ridiculous.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Mac Jones, 3 forward passes, 2 completed for 19 yards, had a better total QBR, 4.3, than Tyrod Taylor did last week, who ended up with a 2.7 total QBR.
Yes.
By the way, Gilly, are you coming around on the Patriots? Because you poo-pooed me many weeks now. Are you... I'm wondering if you're getting to the point where you're starting to maybe become a bit of a believer, or are you still poo-pooing the Pats?
Well, again, let's hold two thoughts in our heads at the same time. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team, right? But, like, I'm not in the camp. I was never in the camp that, Bill Belichick forgot to coach. I mean, I think the Patriots are a good football team. But, like, let's see what happens in January if they fall behind in a playoff game and they have to rely on a passing game. I mean... I'd fade them, right? Like, I think that's their Achilles. All these teams are flawed.
But has your opinion changed in the last, say, 4 weeks from where you were 4 weeks ago, or are you still pretty much the same spot?
I'm still pretty much the same spot. Get back to me after the Indy game next week. Get back to me after that game. If they beat Indianapolis.
No, then, I wasn't complaining. I was just wondering how you're feeling.
All right, so Todd, you like to be the first. Oh, we like to have Todd do the teaser.
Yeah, I do.
Todd, what do you got?
Okay. I would like to take the Baltimore Ravens +8.5. Say what you want about the Ravens and the Browns and who knows what these teams are. Cool. But I believe I looked at the Browns scoring, and if you look at the Browns last like 6 or 7 weeks, they can't score. They've scored 10 against Baltimore, 13 against Detroit, 7 against New England, 41 against Cincinnati, that's an outlier, 10 against Pittsburgh, 17 against Denver, 14 against Arizona. How are you going to win by 8.5 if you can't get the 20 point? So, you know, granted, Baltimore's all banged up and they're messed up, but I think they can keep it within 8.5. I don't think that should be too much trouble. And then on the other side, I'm going to take, I don't believe in the Rams. I agree with everything you said about the Rams, but +8.5, that's still a lot of points. Give me the Rams +8.5. I think they can keep it close against Arizona. I don't believe in Stafford. I think he's got that Detroit Lions like mojo still in his head. I'm not a Stafford believer, but I do think they can stay within the 8.5.
You're gonna lose one of those legs. One of those legs is going down, Todd.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to keep you guys in it because you know you're so far behind.
So far, you're next, Spikey.
I'm gonna take the Steelers +9 tonight. And the Titans -2.5.
And I'm taking Tennessee and Seattle. Tennessee down.
Wait. So don't say it so fast. Mikey's going with Steelers +9.
Yeah, and Titans
-2.5. Wait, I see. Let me see.
Don't start with your bullshit.
Don't start with the bullshit.
No, we'll give it to you, Mikey. Calm down, Mikey. Oh, my God. What's wrong with Mikey? He's been watching too much of a certain news program, I think. Titans -2.5, Pittsburgh +9 for Mikey and Gidley.
Tennessee, Seattle for me.
Titans -2.5, and Seattle -2.5.
Yeah, Seattle at Houston, Tennessee hosting the Jaguars. All right, final two questions that end every Megapod. One, of the big favorites, who is the most likely to lose outright? Kansas City, 9.5-point favorites against Las
Vegas.
Wait,
before you get to that, Gil, can we just ask Mr. Schwartz,
yes, please.
Who's the toughest defensive lineman you ever played against? And if you don't want to answer because you say, oh, geez, and you're tired of my questions, you can just pass.
I have, like, a limit about, like, 45 minutes for these things. It's Julius Peppers.
Oh.
He's the toughest lineman I've ever played against.
Julius Peppers, good answer.
But, Gil, was that not a good question? I thought that was a very entertaining question.
Great question.
Jeff has to go. He has to go. Let's move on. Here we go. Big favorite.
Oh, but when Mikey stops everything and goes, oh, can I just ask a question, Mr. Musburger? Remember that time you and Phyllis George were on the train together and you said that really good
question? I do kind of have to, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're done.
Final question. Of the big favorites, I won't even list them, but we're talking about the big favorites. Who's the one most likely to lose outright, Jeff?
This sounds probably pretty silly, but the Chargers, do you trust them as a 10-point favorite ever? Like, I know the Giants have no one at quarterback, but, like, Mike Williams is out. Derwin James is out, I believe, in this game. Like,
COVID
Giants
is an issue.
Giants cover the spread pretty well at home. On the road, I should say. I know Daniel Jones is not playing, I don't think, but, like, probably the Chargers out of all the teams. I don't trust them at all.
Giants hopeful that Mike Glennon can play, so they try to avoid the Jake Fromm first start ever. Todd, big favorite, most likely to lose outright, Todd? Candidates, Chiefs, Chargers, Titans, Seattle,
I'm
going
to go with
Denver.
The Texans. Well, Texans to pull the absolute, you know, rabbit out of their ass and beat the Seattle Seahawks just because Seattle stinks.
Mikey?
Broncos.
I am going to go with the Seattle Seahawks also, like Todd. And then the final question, if you had to bet every one of these games on a side, but you got one free pass, one game you wanted no part of, I already mentioned mine is tonight's game between Minnesota and Pittsburgh. Jeff, what would that game be?
No, that I just don't want to wager on at all this weekend. This is your question. Well, I mean, Atlanta-Carolina feels like a game that no one ever should wager on. If you're wager on that game, I'm sorry for you. Because the Falcons are the worst team ever. I had them last week, too. I'm watching them just, you know, they drop a pass in the end zone, right? Like, just to lose the game. The worst team to ever wager on. And who knows what Carolina's doing each week? I have no idea. So, game, not wager on that game.
I like it. Todd, your answer?
That's mine, too. I will never bet Matty Ice. And,
Giants-Chargers.
Giants-Chargers also. For Jeff Schwartz. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Jeff Schwartz.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Take care.
You too.
Thanks, Jeff. Check out the podcast.
Jeff Schwartz is smarter than you wherever podcast is.
We'll get you that Schwartz guy. We'll get him that Schwartz guy later.
He's gone, Todd.
He's gone. He had to be out.
You clearly upset him.
You upset him. Todd Wishnev from his mom's cork out.
You know, Mikey Paul, I just want to say one thing about Mike Paul. He's just a little weasel, isn't he? He just weasels
he's
in
on. He's a weasel. The guy's a weasel.
I loved Bobby the Brain Heenan growing up. One of my role models. The weasel.
I mean, he is a weasel. I happen to like him, but he is a weasel. I'll be honest with you.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you very kindly. Good luck to everybody. Week 14 picks of the NFL. Thank you for listening to the Megapod from the D.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love.
Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.